Chapter 5. Resistance. Summary. A mission gone wrong brings out old fears and habits. Author's notes. From here on, there is implied self-harm and unhealthy coping mechanisms, including the mention of alcoholism and drug abuse. Without the bar and the others distracting them and the guilt of keeping their identity secret looming over them, Peter and Eddie quickly realized that they were both interested in more than friendship. After that date, Peter invited Eddie to his apartment and they talked a lot about their secret identities. From there, it was a lot easier to get close. They started easy, with casual touches and flirting, but knowing what was probably each other's biggest secret made it easy to talk about other boundaries and insecurities. And knowing they were both new to two men dating, even if for different reasons, helped them relax and learn together. A few days after they first went out together, they decided to tell some of their friends at the bar that they were dating, and just a little later, almost everyone was rooting for them as a couple. A few weeks into their relationship, Peter and Eddie were sitting in a booth in the back of the bar. There had been a big mission earlier that week that had brought all of the Avengers and the good portion of the other heroes and vigilantes together. The fight had been taxing on everyone involved, and a lot of the fighters were still licking their wounds, so the bar was relatively empty for a Friday night. Eddie was just telling Bucky and Peter about an article he was working on when two people entered the bar.
"Shit! Matt!"
Bucky exclaimed. They were the only one facing the door the moment it opened, but as soon as the words left their mouth, almost everyone turned to see what the problem was. Matt Murdock was covered in bruises and cuts, he was limping badly and his left arm was in a cast. In short, he was pretty banged up, even by vigilante beating up full armies of ninjas on his own standards. Clint, who had followed right behind him, looked bad too, but his black eye and the generously oversized sweater that was probably meant to hide his chest while his ribs were healing were nothing in comparison. Bucky had crossed the room in quick steps and was now gently supporting and leading Matt to a free booth, a little off from the rest of the patrons.
"What happened to you?"
they asked, their voice pitched low.
"Ninjas,"
Clint answered. He was sucking in a sharp breath as he sat down, and it took him a moment until he found a position he could sit in comfortably.
"We heard there was a new group in the old warehouses that's trying to fill the empty spots the Fingers left. Matt decided to jump in headfirst, no plan, no backup, not even enough time to scout out the situation. It's lucky that Danny and Colleen were already planning something and knew what they were dealing with. I'm not sure they would have made it out with all their limbs and working senses attached otherwise."
"Shit, Matt,"
Bucky repeated. This time they were talking quietly, and while it was obvious that it was meant to be only audible to the two vigilantes, there was also a considerable overlap in what people with enhanced hearing could make out and what was too quiet for Clint's hearing aids to pick up. And since a good portion of the guests had heightened senses in some capacity, most of them understood what was talked about anyway.
"Please tell me this isn't about that news report, Matt. Please tell me you have this under control."
Matt, who wasn't wearing his glasses but had held his head low until that point, glared. He didn't say anything. He just threw an unfocused stare towards Bucky that made Peter wince a little when he caught it, even from the other side of the room.
"Don't do this to yourself,"
Bucky pleaded. This time it was actually quiet enough that Peter could barely hear it, and Eddie, who sat right next to him, didn't catch it. The bartender leaned over the table and took Matt's free hand into theirs.
"Please, there are better ways to deal with this."
Matt had enough. He pulled his hand from Bucky's and all but jumped to his feet. The movement aggravated his countless injuries, and even without his spider senses, Peter could tell that he must have been in an insane amount of pain. But the devil didn't let it show on the outside. Instead, he leaned over the table and into Bucky's space. His voice was dangerously calm and quiet, and Peter was glad he wasn't the one it was directed at.
"Have you read the articles? Have you heard the reporters? It's pure luck that they haven't figured out my identity yet. But that wouldn't make much of a difference anymore anyway."
He gestured to imply the headlines in the air.
"Vigilante is actually a blind man, doesn't sell as well as Man Without Fear is actually a mutilated woman. And Criminal Vigilante, same person as Respected Lawyer. It's not as interesting as Daredevil spreads transgenderist agenda. Everyone knows Bucky. Everyone. The press is having a field day tearing us apart, and the internet is flooded with hate speech against us. There is not a single person out there anymore who doesn't know we're trans. The city has seen it. Hell, by now probably all of America and half the world have seen Clint's ripped binder and my scars. That's it. It's over. It's out there now."
Clint, who had at first tried to calm it down, was now sinking in on himself. Clearly, he shared Matt's opinion, even if he wasn't as angry about it. Where the lawyer tended to express frustration and pain as rage and self-destruction, the archer usually internalized and suppressed. Just that wasn't as easy when there were other people involved.
I know that!
Bucky snapped back, and Peter could clearly see the moment the ex-soldier realized they had gotten up and were leaning dangerously close to Matt in their immediate change in posture. Bucky took a deep breath to center themselves. Then they rested their hands on Matt's shoulders and gently let him back down.
I know that. All of us know that, and a lot of us have been through the exact same thing. Don't you remember the headlines when the news caught up with me? Or when Steve and Tony came out? Or Nat and Maria?
They let their gaze trail through the room for a second. It had gotten quiet. Everyone who didn't know what this was about at the start definitely knew after Matt snapped. And like Bucky said, there was no one in the bar who couldn't sympathize with him on some level.
Everyone who is publicly out has been through this, and it was never easy. Each and every one had to face resistance, hate, and bad press. But we all made it through because we have people to rely on, and we stand up for each other.
At least you could do it on your own terms.
Matt growled in his low, rough voice, which he usually reserved for the worst of his enemies.
If you keep this up, you are going to get yourself killed. Is that what you want?
Bucky slipped back into a cold, angry voice, and their posture hardened. Matt didn't answer, but the way his eyes were swimming with tears when he dared open them again said more than 1,000 words could have. For a moment, no one said anything. Then Bucky forced their body to relax and took a deep breath.
Have you eaten today?
They asked, still looking at Matt. They seemed to realize something and turned to Clint.
Both of you? And no, coffee doesn't count.
Matt still didn't react, but he had put his near-opaque glasses on and he was breathing heavily, probably to stop himself from breaking more than he had already.
No.
Clint admitted it, with his eyes fixed on the worn tabletop.
Okay, I'll go get you something to eat. And you two are not going home alone tonight. Neither to Hell's Kitchen nor to Bed-Stuy. It's the tower or my apartment. You can choose.
Bucky got up, but before they went to the kitchen, they looked at the two men for a moment longer and whispered, just loud enough for Clint to hear it.
You don't have to do it alone this time.